It can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through. I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.
The countdown has begun. From May 14th to 16th, 1,000 global leaders will gather in Doha for the Qatar Economic Forum powered by Bloomberg. Join heads of state, influential ministers, and leading CEOs to make new connections, gain unique insights, and uncover valuable opportunities in one of the world's most rapidly rising regions. Request your invite for this exclusive event at QatarEconomicForum.com.
This is Bloomberg Business Week with Carol Messer and Bloomberg Quick Takes' Tim Stenovic on Bloomberg Radio.
I want to get right to our next guest, Martin McGuinn Jr. He's a former Mellon Bank CEO, and he's got his autobiography out, and it's just fascinating for a good Irish-American like myself. It's titled, From Swamp Poodle to Mellon Bank CEO, An Irish-American's Journey. Marty joins us on the phone from the Hamptons. Marty, I love the title, but you got to tell me, what or where is Swamp Poodle?
Well, it certainly is an unusual word, and it's a neighborhood in northern Philadelphia, where a lot of Irish immigrants settled in the early 1900s, including my grandparents. So it seemed like a good place to start telling my story, and so it is from Swamp Poodle to Mellon Bank CEO.
I thought it was like a golden doodle there for a minute, Paul.
But
Marty, I started reading your book and I started getting chills because let me tell you my own life story. I had great grandparents from Donegal and County Mayo. Came to America, worked in the coal mines near Wilkes-Barre. Then we ended up in Westchester, PA, right down the street from where you ended up. So I feel like you and I might need a DNA test or something to sort this all out. But I got to ask you, I know as a Villanova booster yourself, I think my Philly friends would kill me if I didn't ask you, can you get Jay Wright to come back to the team, do you think?
Well, that's a very important question. And I wish the answer is that we could. But I think Jay had a wonderful run, and he really was ready to move on. But he's created a program and a culture and a tradition, though, that I think will be carried on. And it's not just a basketball program that wins games, but really develops players and is consistent with the community spirit that thrives at Villanova.
Hey, Marty, I'm just kind of seeing here, you grew up in Princeton, graduated from Villanova and Villanova Law School, and then you served in the Marine Corps in Vietnam. Tell us about that experience.
Well, I joined the Marine Corps while I was in college because they had a program where you went down during summers in college and went through your basic training, and then you were commissioned when you graduated. And in my case, I was guaranteed a deferment so I could go to law school and then serve on active duty. And that seemed a good way for me to commit to serve my country, but at the same time be able to start my career in a way that was consistent with my planning. And in the Marine Corps, as you may know, they have a saying, every man's a fighting man from the commandant on down. So you have to get through all the same basic training, even if you intend to have a basic legal responsibility, which is what I did. And then serving in Vietnam was what all Marines were doing during those days when I was active.
You know, Marty, I always like to talk to people who have had experiences running a bank because I feel like they have such a unique perspective on the economy and markets, almost like no one else can sort of view from having been in your position. And I'm curious, you know, if we're here sitting in an environment with more than 8% inflation, treasury yields going up one day, down the next year, stocks in a bear market. What's your sort of read on the economy and how we should think about markets and the whole banking industry and everything in your old wheelhouse these days?
Well, that's a pretty broad question, but let me try to answer it. As far as the economy is concerned, I think we've had a fairly strong economy for quite a few years now. And then when Congress really stepped up the spending, I think that really is what triggered the first move toward inflation. And then when you have, of course, the war in Ukraine and the energy problems and all the other issues, and then, frankly, I think the Fed was very slow in moving to raise interest rates. And so the challenge now looking ahead, in my opinion, is the Fed would love somehow to get us what they call a soft landing, which means they can tame inflation without causing too much disruption in the economy. But that's been very hard to do, both historically and I think in this environment with so many problematic issues, that I think it's going to be difficult to do. So my own opinion is I think there's a greater chance for a recession than previously. So maybe it's more likely than less likely. I think going back to the banking part of your question, government regulation has been increasing in the last decade or so, and making it very difficult to compete in an economy where you're not only dealing with non-financial institutions that are regulated differently, but you're dealing with competitors on a global basis. So it's a very difficult environment, and of course, you're right. I mean, the banks have to work very hard in the economy, as all companies
yep.
do, but still, they're more directly affected. So this is a very difficult environment, I think, for banking.
The countdown has begun. This May, 1,000 global leaders will gather in Doha for the Qatar Economic Forum, powered by Bloomberg, held in conjunction with our official partners, the Qatar Ministry of Commerce and Industry and Media City Qatar, and premier sponsor QNB. Join heads of state, influential ministers, and leading CEOs to make new connections and gain unique insights. Learn more at QatarEconomicForum.com.
Let's get right back to Marty McGuinn. Marty is a former Mellon Bank CEO, and he is the author of his autobiography entitled From Swamp Poodle to Mellon Bank CEO, An Irish American's Journey. He joins us on the phone from the Hamptons. Marty, thanks so much for hanging on there. Love to get some color from you. You were chairman and CEO of Mellon Financial Corporation from 1999 to 2006. Talk to us about that time and some of the challenges you faced.
Well, it was that period of time followed a very strong stock market, which was not only important for how corporation shares trade, but of course we sold our retail banking business, so wanted to move away from being a more traditional bank to a more focused organization with our strategic focus on asset management and asset servicing. So that slower market period after a stronger market period also had a major impact on our business. So it was a major struggle with one of the, you know, the poorest equity markets since the Depression.
You know, Marty, I read a few pages from the book earlier, and really one anecdote that caught my attention was when you were a kid going to see the Philadelphia Athletics play at Connie Mack Stadium.
Whoa, it's going back.
That's going back, Paul. But here's, and as I said before, Marty and I have such a similar background. I wondered if we were related. But here's what really made me think we were related, Paul, is he used to wait till about halfway through the game
okay. So
he could get in for free and not have to pay for
nice.
The ticket.
Okay.
but Marty, I'm wondering, you know, with that kind of humble and, you know, hardworking upbringing that you describe in the book, from your family in the Swamp Poodle section of Philadelphia, how does that serve you eventually in the role of a bank CEO? You know, I'm guessing, you know, you earned you learned the value of a dollar very early, and I'm guessing you must have carried that on throughout your career as a banker. Is that fair to say?
No, I think it's very fair to say, and I would expand on that slightly. My grandparents were Irish immigrants. My grandfather was an operator of a trolley. My grandmother was a homemaker. And so we began with very modest backgrounds. And so I think that certainly teaches you that not only the value of a dollar, but I think also the need to work hard and to be committed to what you do. And frankly, I also think my Irish American background was very important too in inculcating a desire to work hard, but also to maintain a sense of humor, especially about myself. And And I think those combined backgrounds have been very important in my life.
That's true. The Irish are very self-deprecating. Paul knows that too. It's rare to get three Irish guys from Philly together like this without someone getting in trouble. I don't know.
Well, remember, Connie Mack Stadium was right on the edge of Swamp Poodle too, so it was right there.
Oh, that's fun.
I wonder where the term Swamp Poodle, what's the origins of that? Did you?
It's a good question, and I've tried to find the answer, and it's not a very satisfactory answer, so I'm afraid I can't give you a very good answer. But somehow it stuck, and I think many people don't know about it today, which is why it sort of made the title kind of intriguing.
Yeah, it's interesting. So, Marty, if you think about the U.S. banking system over the last 15 years, wow, we had the great financial crisis, 2007, 2008, and the banks obviously played a role there. We've just gone through 2.5 years and still dealing with this global pandemic, and that's been an uncertain time. How do you, just give us your thoughts on kind of, as you look at the U.S. banking system here today, kind of what are your views in terms of how it's performing, the relative health of it, and kind of maybe what it can do better?
Well, I think these last 15 years and a lot of the extra regulations have made doing business more burdensome than it needs to be. But on the other hand, some of those regulations and the requirements that banks have to comply with in terms of capital have also made the banks much stronger. And so I think today the banks in general are very strong. And I think these tests that have been applied periodically have shown that to be the case. Obviously, the economy now is a major challenge, but I think the banks are well positioned, and I hope we can get a balance in the regulatory environment that, you know, dissuades inappropriate risk, but also encourages appropriate risk taking and keeps our banking system strong because it's so important to the economy.
Marty, Paul and I were just talking about how it seems like there was almost a bubble in just about every asset class the last few years. That's collapsing before our eyes now, from stocks to even treasuries were probably overvalued there. The one bubble that perhaps exists that hasn't burst just yet is housing. You know, we've had this tremendous run-up in housing prices, and obviously that caused a big problem when they came back to earth during the financial crisis. To get back to that idea of regulation, I mean, is the current banking system, knock on wood, in much better shape to absorb some roughness in the housing market if these prices come back to earth?
Yeah, I think for sure. Part of the problem with the prior crisis was that the bank lending, and not just banks, by the way, but even non-banks, a lot of different financial institutions which were less regulated, were obviously lending sometimes without requiring any collateral at all. And look at Lehman Brothers. They were so highly undercapitalized and over-leveraged that's what ultimately led to their demise. And I think today banks are stronger. I think the requirements against lending, especially on houses, will protect the banks and hopefully homeowners as well during this crisis. But remember, too, part of this bubble, if that's what it is, or at least the massive appreciation, is being driven by supply and demand. And there's just, far more demand than there is supply, and that's being reflected in many markets. On the other hand, as interest rates go up, that will have an impact on people that have borrowed, but hopefully both they and the banks are in better position to absorb that.
Not bad for a guy from Swamp Poodle, Paul.
No, that's not bad at all. Hey, Marty, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate you taking the time on this Friday afternoon right before the long weekend. Marty McGuinn, former Mellon CEO and author of his autobiography entitled From Swamp Poodle to Mellon Bank CEO, An Irish American's Journey, joining us on the phone.
From Silicon Valley to Wall Street, the promise and perils of artificial intelligence are playing out on the world stage. But what will the next phase of AI adoption look like? Which companies, from big tech to startups, will dominate? And where do the risks and unintended consequences lie? I'm Emily Chang. Join me at Bloomberg Tech in San Francisco, May 9th, to answer many of the industry's burning questions, alongside Snap's Evan Spiegel, Xbox President Sarah Bond, OpenAI's Brad Lightcap, top researcher Dr. Fei-Fei Li of Stanford, and many more. More details and just a few tickets left at Bloomberg.com/TechSF.